We're doing Yen Yaakov. We're in the middle of the stories of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel was the Nasi, the prince. Shammai was the Av Beis Din, the head of the court. Hillel and Shammai only differed on four things halachically. Their students had many machlokot. Hillel was head of the Jewish people. He was Nasi 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. And we had begun with an intro. Le'olam yehi adam anavtan kehillel. A person should always be humble like Hillel. Ve'al yehi kaptan keshamai, and he should not be stern like Shammai. We learned the first story about the guy who wanted to get Hillel to lose his cool, and how he tried again and again and again to try and get Hillel to lose his cool and was unsuccessful. And now we pick up Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic quote that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. Ma'aseh, it's a story. Benochri echad, a certain non-Jewish person, sheba lifnei Shammai, he came before Shammai. Correct. Amar le kama torot yesh lachem. He said, how many Torah do the Jewish people have? So Shammai said, we have two, Torah Shebichtav, we have the written law, the Torah Shebealpeh, and the oral law. Amar lo Shebichtav, ani ma'amincha, I'm willing to trust you on the written law, the Shebealpeh, but with regards to the oral law, ani ma'amincha, I don't believe you, I don't trust you, gaireini al menat shetelamdeini Torah Shebichtav. I want to convert to Judaism. I want you to convert me on condition that you teach me only the written law. I want to become a Jew, but I only want to know the written law. So, ga'albo v'hotziyo bin zifa. So, a person who says, I'm going to accept the Torah except for one thing, we don't accept him. So, Shammai kicked him out, said, goodbye. Leave. No. So remember, this was the time when there was a Jewish court. The Jews were running the show. I'm saying there was a Jewish king. And so Shammai was able to say, goodbye, leave. You're not welcome. I'm not accepting you. We will not accept you for conversion. Now this is important because very often people want to convert and then there are issues which they don't want to accept. So that's really not a kosher conversion. A person has to learn and decide, do I want to accept all of Judaism or not? A person says, I'll accept all of Judaism. I don't like making Kiddush Shabbos morning. I'm not going to do it. It's a rabbinic institution. So he cannot convert. That's the halacha. That conversion means I'm willing to accept the written and the oral law, including the rabbinic institutions. Balifnei Hillel. So he came before Hillel. Gaire. Hillel converted him. Wow. But what about that halacha we just learned? So Rashi says that Hillel understood that this guy isn't denying the Torah. He just doesn't understand that the oral Torah is God-given. And Hillel was confident, if I could only prove to him that the oral Torah is also God-given, he wants to do everything God said. He just doesn't yet understand that this is a part of it. So Hillel said he's got the right idea. He says, I want to do everything God said. That's a kosher ger. He doesn't yet understand everything God said. I'll explain it to him. Yom HaKama, so the first day Hillel tells him, fine, now that you're a Jew, you got to come learn Torah. See, it's the exact opposite of our gear program. After he did the gear, Hillel tells him, now you got to learn Torah. That's the mistake people make. They do gear and then they walk out of yeshiva. It's the other way. You did gear. Now you have a biblical mitzvah. Amale Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. So he taught him, this is an Aleph, this is a Beis, this is a Gimel, this is a Dalet. Lemachar, the next day, Apich Lei. He turned it around. He told him, this is a Taf, this is a Shin, this is a Reish, this is a Kuf. So he says, wait, yesterday he told me it's an Aleph, now he's telling me it's a... Yesterday you told me the order of the Aleph Beis is Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. Now you're teaching me the order of the Torah is Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf. Which one is it? Wait. Yesterday you taught me the first letter is Aleph, the second letter is Beis. Today what are you teaching me? The first letter is Tav, the next letter is Shin, the next letter is Resh, the next letter is Kuf. So when people quote the story, people misquote it. People say the next day he told him that's a beis and that's an aleph, that's an aleph and that's a beis. Because the Gemara's wording is apichle, he turned it around. So people think it means that Hillel lied to him, either the first day or the second day, but that's not what happened. Rashi right away tells us, he told him the next day, the order of the Aleph Beis is Tashrak, Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf. In the hidden secrets of the Torah, we say that the written law is represented with Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The oral law is represented with Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf. And that's why you will find in poetic form, when you have parts of prayer that go in the order of Tashrak, as you see on Shabbos day, the prayer is Tikanta Shabbat, Ratzita Kobenoteha. It goes in the order of Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, because it's referring to secrets of the Shabbos, to the oral tradition of the Shabbos, as opposed to the Aleph Beis, which refers to the overt, the recognized, the written part of the Shabbos. So that's why when Hillel reversed it, Hillel was really teaching him the Torah that he wanted to know. Now you want to know the other part of Torah? That's Tashrak. That's Taf Shin Resh Kuf. Amali v'atmolo amrit liyachi. So he looks at Hillel and he says, this isn't what you taught me yesterday. Amale laval didika samchit. So he says, no, don't you have to rely on me? You can't read Aleph Beis if you don't rely on me. So then, rely on me that the oral tradition is also from God. You don't have the written Torah without me either. You can't get to step one. You can't get to first base. You don't know what the Aleph Beis is. So you're going to trust me. So believe me. The oral tradition you also have to trust me on. And the guy accepted it. And he became a good God-fearing Jew. He kept all the Torah. Yes?
Two questions. Is there something unsavory about
yes. It says that in general, a person should not allow a lie to emit his lips. We try to avoid ever saying a lie. Even for good reasons. One necessary, so we might do it, but we try to avoid it. That's why this pshat is so much sweeter than the other pshat. Just 1 second. Yes, Akiva.
Right. Distance yourself from a lie.
Right.
Not even if it's like not a stam lie, but distance yourself from what appears to be.
Yeah. You also have to remember that we have a rule. The aleihu lo yibol. The verse in Psalm says, even the leaves that fall in the autumn won't wither. That's a reference to one who learns Torah. One who learns Torah is supposed to attain a level, for sure. Hillel was on that level, where no word that he says is for naught. So it could be that when a person is younger, he understands it on one level, and as they mature, they understand it on another level. So for Hillel to waste his time and say, that's an aleph and that's a beis, and to switch it and to say a lie, is really, it's on a much lower level than Hillel is on. That's not where we'd expect Hillel to be. He should have been able to accomplish the same thing with saying the truth and getting an educational point across.
Midrashim that are not historical.
Correct, and that's why Shlomo Amel says, "Davin mashal umlitza, divrei chachamim v'chidotam." The words of a wise person have to have weight on every level of understanding. Even if the Midrash has a deeper meaning, the simple meaning has to be a story that's worthwhile. I didn't say that, you said that.
Either the rock that Yaakov moved when he rolled it off the well, either it really weighed so much and was so big that it took 50 people to move it, or it didn't. It was one or the other, right? So
you said that. I didn't say that.
How can it be both?
That's a good question, but if you look closely in numerous places in Shas and in Medrash, the Medrash addresses that question. The rabbis met Elio. They asked him, what's their Bon Shalom learning? He said, their Bon Shalom's learning about creation. Oh, wait, one second. We're having a machlokas in Beis Medrash. Which way is their Bon Shalom saying it happened? Was creation in Tishrei or in Nisan? Oh, their Bon Shalom saying, Rabbi Eliezer says it was in Nisan in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying it was a Nisan. What do you mean, Elio? God knows what he did. What's the Ribbon Shom saying? Rabbi Yehoshua says this, and Rabbi Yeshua says that. The Gemara answers, Elio answered that question. It's a Medrash, not the Gemara. They met Elio and they asked him, what's the Ribbon Shom doing? He's learning the story of Pilegesh Begiva. Really? That's what we're discussing in Beis Medrash. What happened that the husband got so upset that she ran away, the concubine? So, Machlokas in the Gemara, what happened? Why did he get so upset? So they asked Elio, what did God say? So Elio said, God said, my son, and he quoted, I think it's Reish Lakish or Marukva, one of the Amoraim says this way, and one of the Amoraim says that way. But wait, the Ribbon Shom knows what happened. So which one is it? Ah, it was, and then the Gemara goes into how both are correct, factually. So I wouldn't be so quick to say factually, correct or incorrect.
I think the answer to that is that one is the major factor and one is the minor factor.
Okay, but then they were both factually correct. They both happened.
Like you could almost say that they're both wrong because the one is saying that it's the only cause and the other is saying it's the only cause, or worded in that way. So,
but that's not our class. We're in Ein Yaakov. You're taking us off.
The rock. It could be either one way or the other. And my other question was about Shammai himself, the way that we speak about him. It's like he was basically one of the greatest individuals ever.
Shammai was right. What Hillel did is questionable. How do you accept the ger when he's not accepting the oral law?
He says about Hillel and Shammai, don't be like Shammai. Where's all this stuff about how Shammai was such an extraordinary tzaddik and his piety and breadth of knowledge and so forth, like positive things about him, like that. Everywhere we see like Hillel Shammai, don't be like Shammai. Like, but it's like blatant there that we know about how great he was. Why like always the focus on a negative? Like every time he's mentioned it seems it's always negative. This is the, like very honoring him properly,
like,
for who he is.
Okay, so we were in the middle of learning the stories of Shammai and Hillel, and Yaakov is bothered with the intro where the Gemara had said, "Lo'lam yadam anavtan ki Hillel." A person should always be humble and accepting like Hillel. The al yei kaptan ki Shammai, he shouldn't be stern like Shammai. So it doesn't say don't be like Shammai. It says in this one point, don't be like Shammai. Shammai was a giant. Shammai is quoted as having prophesied on a certain level before he passed away. There was a big argument between him and the court, and he warned the court, you guys are forgoing the honor of Torah. You will all die by the sword for the honor you're forgoing. There was a court case where Herod was supposed to be taken to court for having killed. And Herod walked into court with a Roman legion, and Shammai said, get the swords out of the court and we'll judge you. Herod was a servant. Herod had partnership, had liaison with Roman soldiers. In his position, he had killed someone. Shammai wanted to take him to court. His master, technically, the king, came to court with him to back him. And Shammai said, out. If we're the court, we're supposed to judge Herod. You don't belong here. At which point, Herod and the king said, not till you say, till all your friends side with you. And Shammai's friends, the other people on the court, were scared of saying anything. And suddenly Shammai was left standing alone. And Shammai turned to them and said, you're scared of him now? Wait till you see what he does to you next. And Shammai passed away in peace, and the rest of the court, including the king, were all murdered by Herod. Shammai was a giant. Shammai with his toughness and his... Shammai was the one who says, "Evim kabel et kol adam b'sever panim yafot." Greet every person with a warm countenance. Shammai says it. So Shammai is a giant in Midot as well. There's one point where Shammai's trait is a certain sternness, which goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And here we'll go off on a quick tangent. Rav Shlomo Fisher would say, when Moshe Rabbeinu is approached by Hashem to lead the Jewish people out of Egypt, what does Moshe say? Lo ish devarim anochi. I'm not a man of words. What are the final letters of lo ish devarim anochi? Lo is an aleph. Ish is a shin. Devarim is a mem. Anochi is a yod. That spells Shammai. That same trait of Shammai was the trait of Moshe Rabbeinu. God tells him, Hu yiyeh lecha lepeh, take Aaron. Hu yiyeh lecha lepeh, Rashi Tevos Hillel. He, Aaron, who is the trait of Hillel. The Talmud says the midah of Shammai, the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu is Yikov Hadin et Hahar. Yikov Hadin et Hahar. The rule, the law will uproot the mountain. Come anything or high water, whatever the law is, that's what we do. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Shammai. Yikov Hadin et Hahar are the letters Yud, Hey, Aleph, Hey. Eheyeh, when Hashem tells Moshe, I will take the Jews out of Egypt, with what name does Hashem say? Eheyeh, with the name that represents truth. How does Eheyeh represent truth? Because Eheyeh is the numerical value of 25. Eheyeh, Asher Eheyeh is 25 times 25, right? Eheyeh, Asher Eheyeh, right? Hey is 10, Yud is 10, Aleph is 1, 21, not 25, 21, I'm sorry. 21, Eheyeh is 21, Eheyeh, Asher Eheyeh. I will be that I will be represents the truth. 21 times 21 equals the numerical value of Emet, 441. Guys, do the math. Emet, 441. You didn't catch me on a being 25. It's 21. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe, there's a truth in the Jewish people coming out of Egypt. You don't always have to see what's bad in them. There's a good in them. And they will come out of Egypt by that right. So one day we'll go further. If you want, you guys can look it up in the Beit Yishai. This is what I said right now is from the Beit Yishai from Shlomo Fisher. He takes some of it from other sources. But at any rate, this comes back to Shammai being that strength that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, being Yikov Adin et Tahar, which is a very important trait. And the Talmud's telling us not to take it too far. Shammai was a kapdan, and with all his strength, the Talmud's saying that's not what to learn from it. Back to our Gemara.
Just to clarify it. Emet equals
Ehyeh
squared?
Correct, because the Torah squares it. I will be that I will be. The Torah says it twice, yeah.
Okay.
Back to our Ein Yaakov, after that long tangent. Shuv Maaseh, next story. Benochri Echad. There was a singular non-Jewish person. Sheba lifnei Shammai, he came before Shammai. Amar lo gairei ni al medai shetelamdeni kol Torah kula, shani omed al regel achat. I want you to convert me on condition that you teach me the whole Torah when I'm standing on one foot. Okay. Tachfo b'amat ha'binyan shebiyado. So Shammai was holding a measurement, amat ha'binyan, that you measure that a building is straight, and he pushed him off of his foot with that. You know, stop wasting my time.
Was there significance to the fact that he was I think so.
Right. Shammai was alluding to him. The previous time he kicked him out yelling at him. Here he's teaching him, just as you have the stick with which you measure the amma, the stones that lay the foundation of the building, so too Torah doesn't work that way. You need a broad basis of Torah, understand the many mitzvot of Torah and build on that. Ba lifnei Hillel gairei. Came before Hillel, and Hillel converted him. Amalei, Hillel said to him, Dalach sani lechavrach lo tevid. Whatever you dislike, don't do to your friend. Zui kol haTorah kula. That's the whole Torah. Ve'idach perushahu. And the rest is explanations. It's commentary on all that. Zil gmor, go learn the rest of the Torah. The rest is how to apply it. And you'll still see that God is your friend too. And you shouldn't do things he doesn't like either. So you'll see. Go learn. Wow. That's the whole Torah. Shuv ma'aseh ba'aku mechad shaya over achoy bet ha'kneset. Another story. There was a non-Jew who was walking behind the shul. V'shama kol sofer shaya omer. He heard a rabbi or a person who was teaching children saying, Ve'eila b'gadim asher yasu, the following clothing should be manufactured. Choshen, a breastplate. Ve'efod, and a royal apron. Amar halalu lemi. So he turns to the guy next to him and says, who's going to wear all that fancy clothing? Amar lo lekohen gadol. So the guy tells him, the high priest gets all these fancy clothing. Amar oto akum be'atzmo, lech ve'etgayer b'shei she'isimuni kohen gadol. So he says to himself, let me go convert. I'll have all these fancy clothing. Balifnei Shammai, he came before Shammai. Amalei gareni al menach tesimeni kohen gadol. I want to convert, but I want to be the high priest. You guys are laughing. I don't know why you're laughing. This is a story that happens all the time. Very often. No, because the message here is different.
It's like the Arab work who seriously said to me, why are you working in construction? You know, all Jews have money.
Yeah.
I said, no, 40% of Israel doesn't have money. They have cars and houses.
Yes. So again, Shammai pushed him with this stick, this measuring stick, and he was telling this person, it doesn't work that way. You got to build foundations. You can't strive for the top without building from the bottom up. So he came before Hillel, and Hillel converted him. And again, we apply the same concept. Hillel understood with all three stories that these people wanted to serve Hashem. They had a few details off, but in general, they wanted to do whatever Hashem would tell them. Hillel said to him, you know, we can't appoint you king before you learn how to behave as a king. Go learn the details of how a king's supposed to behave. Go learn the Torah. That's our guidebook. You'll learn that and then come back and we'll see where to go from there. Halach v'kara. So this non-Jew went. I guess he already knew how to read Hebrew. You see, he was listening to the guy read the Torah. He understood what he was hearing. So he started reading Torah. Kivan she'igia le'vehazar ha'karev yumat. When he reached the verse, so he learned. Who did he learn? He learned Bereishis, all the stories of Genesis. He learned Shmos, the Exodus. He even learned Vayikra. He learned all the laws of the sacrifices. He was like, I better know what to do there, right? But then he reached the verse in Bamidbar, where the Torah says, Hazar HaKarev Yumat. A non-Kohen who approaches the temple gets the death penalty. Amar lo mikraz al minemar. So he asked the next guy in Beis Medrash, who's that talking about? Who's the stranger that's not allowed to enter the temple? Amar lo afilu al David melech Israel. That's talking about King David. Even David, the king of Israel, couldn't enter the Holy of Holies or the holier parts of the temple. He'd get the death penalty. So now this convert, he's been learning for quite a while. He starts figuring it out. He says, "Uma Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom." If the Jewish people are called God's sons. Umitoch ava she'avam kara lahem bni bechori Yisrael. He already learned Shmos. And in Shmos it says that God says to Pharaoh, my chosen son is Israel. Nonetheless, God says, anyone who's a non-Kohen gets a death penalty. Ger hakal, he calls himself a light convert. Sheba b'maklo v'talmilo, I'm a newcomer here. I just came here with my stick and knapsack. Al achat kama v'chama, how much more so that I can't enter the temple, I can't be a Kohen. Ba lifnei Shammai. And here you see a very interesting thing. He goes back to Shammai. He says to Shammai, how could I be a Kohen Gadol? What'd you kick me out for? The Torah says a stranger who tries to do service will get the death penalty. So wait a second, what does he have an issue with Shammai? That's what Shammai was saying. What do you want to convert for? You're not going to be Kohen Gadol. He should have came to Shammai and said, I should have listened to you in the first place. But here from the conclusion of the story, we see it's not that way. Hillel saw the truth in the person. Very often when a person comes to do tshuva or to convert, there are issues which they're not so clear on. The general attitude is, I want to do what's right. I happen to think that what's right involves all kinds of things that are wrong. Okay, but I still want to do what's right. It's only a matter of time. I'll learn, I'll understand, I'll get it right. So that's why he comes to Shammai and he says, you know, so I was wrong in my aspirations, but my general aspiration was right. That's a big thing that Hillel was able to see that. How often do we look at people and we look at the nitty-gritty, look at how funny they're doing that. They're so off. You see people and the first thing we look for is where they're off. And Hillel could see beyond that. Look at how right he is. Look at how he's got the right idea. He's headed in the right direction. I want to tell you, I have to tell you a story. This story has been eating me up for a few weeks now. And I'm trying to learn my lesson from it. A number of weeks ago, a woman came to our shul, and we have a mechitza that has holes where you could look through, slats, and you could see through the slats. And they put up a curtain behind the slats because you could really see through the slats, meaning from the men's side, you could also see into the women's side through the slats. So there's a curtain, a veil behind the curtain. So it wasn't the morning prayer. It was one of the prayers where people don't frequent the shul. And this woman sat behind and took down the curtain. So ordinarily, no one looks back but me. I'm facing the crowd, but the crowd's facing me, so no one sees it. Someone saw it and asked her to put it back up, and she refused. So the person came to me and asked me if I could go talk to her. So I went back to the woman section, and the woman says, "What's wrong? There's a mechitza here. There's a barrier. What's the problem?" So I said, "There's not a problem, but you know, our custom here, the way we have it in the shul is we have it with the curtain. But I'll tell you what, we already ordered new mechitzas. In a matter of a month or a little bit more, 40 days, we should be receiving those mechitzas. They have glass, and you'll be able to see through completely. It's just another 40 days, and this is the way we're accustomed in this shul." So she got upset at me, slammed her sitter shut, and walked out of shul. So why am I eating myself up over the story? Not because she was necessarily right. I didn't say anything offensive to her. So what bothered me with the story? That I should have come to the woman's section and said to her, "You know, your prayer is so important. You're the only person here in the whole woman's section. And can you imagine how important your prayer is when you're the only one representing the women in the women's section?" I should have began with a positive note. I was the chazan was about to start davening, and I was coming very focused on, like, what's going on here? I don't know who this person is. I really don't know. Her claim was, "I'm a guest here, so I'm not going to benefit from that new mechitza." So, in all honesty and fairness, it's a chutzpah. A guest walks into shul, she's going to take down curtains and decide the way the mechitza should look. I'm not saying she's right. That's not the point. The point is, even though she was wrong, there's still a nicer way to talk to a person. And part of what we're supposed to learn from Hillel is the capacity to see beyond a person's difficulties. So this ger walks in, this non-Jew walks in, and he's got an issue. He says, "Teach me the Torah on one foot." So you could go with the approach of Shammai, and I don't know if the approach that we're taught here is to be taken literally. When it says Hillel pushed him, Shammai pushed him over, does it mean he pushed him over? Or Shammai said, "Come on, stop wasting my time, you're not for real, goodbye." You know, that the Talmud gives us a terminology. He pushed him with this tool. Why would Shammai be holding that tool? That represents the exact measurement of a building, how you measure when you're building a building. So Shammai was saying to him, you know, you want to build something, you have to build organized. You don't just walk in and say, "Make me the high priest." Maybe you want to be prime minister. You know, okay. So Shammai is Shammai gives him the obvious answer we would all give. The greatness is in Hillel. The greatness is in the ability of seeing, hey, this guy's perfect. He's the greatest. So yeah, it's a little mistake. Okay, we'll help him rectify it. But there's so much that's right about this person. So I'm saying the same thing with that story. The reason I'm carrying the story around with me was not because she was in the right, but because you want to approach a person, you want to talk to a person, you want to help a person grow. You have to be able to see beyond that point and see everything that's right about the person and connect there and then work your way forward. So coming back to our Ein Yaakov, we see that Hillel was right, because after this person converted, he comes back to Shammai and he says, I couldn't be a Kohen Gadol anyway. The Torah clearly says anyone who's a non-Kohen who comes close will get the death penalty. He came back before Hillel. He said to him, you are so humble, Hillel. You're so accepting. Blessings should land on your head. You brought me close. You brought me under the wings of the Shekhinah. It happened that these three Gerim came to one place and they started comparing notes. Amru, they said, Kapdanuto shel Shammai biksha letodeinu min haolam. Shammai in his exacting measure would have pushed us out of the world. We would have lost all of life. Hillel's humility, the fact that he was accepting, that's what brought us under the wings of the Shekhinah. And the conclusion of the story proves how right Hillel was. They describe it as, we would have lost our whole world. Life wouldn't have had value. That's how they view it. So look at how, what righteous converts they were. So Hillel was right. He was able to see through everything. So that's we learn going back to the beginning of the Gemara, how a person le'olam yehe yadam anaftan ke'ilel, a person should always be humble like Hillel. Here he is, the high chief prince of the Jewish people, and yet look at how accepting he is of people that give him challenges, they give him scenarios that are difficult to deal with, but he is accepting. And that stems from his humility. So he's accepting when the guy comes and tries to annoy him in the shower. Who's Hillel around here? Who's Hillel around here? I got a really important question to ask you. Why do Babylonians have funny head, Mr. Hillel, who came from Babylon? Why do Babylonians who sell wood have funny eyes, Mr. Hillel, who sells wood? Why do Africans have funny feet? He's got all these wonderful, important questions to keep bothering Hillel with. And Hillel has patience. The guy comes to Hillel and says, I don't believe you on the oral law. And Hillel has patience. The guy comes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah when I'm standing on one foot. And Hillel has patience. The guy walks in and says, I'll convert, but you got to make me into a high priest. Hillel doesn't say, you know, buddy, you're not doing me a favor, I'm doing you a favor. Get out of here. No, Hillel's accepting. And the three look back and say, Hillel gave us life. And that's the conclusion, the humility of Hillel. Le'olam yehe yadam anavtan ke'ilel. A person should always be so humble and accepting as Hillel. So the Talmud gave us these four stories, the three of the Gerim, and the first story of the Bet, and trying to get Hillel upset, and we get a real enlightenment as to the extent of humility and acceptance that we're supposed to learn from Hillel. Yes?